Hello, listeners. For anyone visiting and living in central Tokyo, come visit the Nakameguro Tap Room from Baird Brewery. Opened in 2008, Nakameguro Tap Room is the first Tokyo area tap room from Baird Brewery. Their kitchen specializes in New Haven style appeats, which I have told you is the best style of Neapolitan pizza. New Haven style places a high emphasis on high temperature baking, fresh seasonal toppings, and a crispy light crust. Combined with all the classic Japan-based Baird beers on tap, enjoy all vintage beer hall feels at Nakameguro Tap Room. There's even a sofa area and a large TV screen great for sporting events. Only a 2-minute walk from Nakameguro Station, the tap room is open daily until 10 p.m. For more information, visit bairdbeer.com.
I don't know about the others' opinion. So it's only me, but I feel during my dance, especially I think the Shinozuka School's choreograph is a simple is best like that. So simpler.
Right.
So simple. Very simple.
Right, right.
Many movement we have. So it makes me to much concentrating to the inside. Like for me, the dance is kind of the meditation. So I can feel, I can see, I can feel, I can watch inside, and at the same time through inside, I can feel the outside, I think.
Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill, cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides sushi and sumo, anime, and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on, people that are hungry for making it, and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. What up, what up, what up? Welcome to Made in Japan podcast, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. I am back again, and on this episode, I am really, really fired up because I'm going to switch up and we're going to go back in time and learn about Japanese traditional dancing. More specifically, the Kyoto style Japanese traditional dance. I believe, you know, I'm sure in Western culture, if you've ever seen Japanese film or even Hollywood films of, related to old Edo style Japan, you've often seen the geisha dancing in front of their clients in a tatami room. And that type of dance is actually often taught to exclusive geisha. And I am here with this episode. I'm here with her real name is Hiro Umetani, but she also goes by her traditional stage name, which is Zuyo Shinozuka. Now, Hiro, she is dances. She's a professional traditional dancer, and she dances under the school of the Shinozuka School based out of Kyoto. And it's in Japanese, they say the Kyomai style, which is basically the traditional dance from Kyoto. And it's often very similar to what the geisha or the maiko-san, how they dance. And her school often teaches those specific Kyoto geisha and maiko to do that specific dance. It is very, very specific. I don't know how many times I'm going to say the word specific, but it's very, very specific to the Kyoto style. And I am just so fired up that Hiro is going to be on this episode to teach us about the Kyomai traditional dance, you know, from her school, the Shinozuka school. So, yeah, I'm just going to let this episode begin. And I hope that you guys are interested to learn about traditional Japanese dance and learn about Hiro, how she's trying to promote her craft to the international scene, and which she is doing right now. So yes, without further ado, this is Hiro Umetani, a Kiyomai Japanese traditional dancer. And here we go. Or should I say,
yeah.
I'm going to pronounce this, I'm going to do my best Japanese pronunciation for your stage name. Ready? It's Zuyo Shinozuka.
Hi, yes, it is. I am. Hi, thank you for having me here. I'm very happy.
Oh, good. I'm so happy. And finally, we can connect after after a long adventure of not connecting. Oh, man. So, sorry. Anyways, so this is so good. I'm so happy to have you on my podcast. And let's start from the beginning. I mean, you are here because you are a dancer, the Japanese traditional dancer.
Yes.
It's really, basically, I think I should just let you talk about what you do. I think that's the best way to start.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have something else you want to talk about.
Okay. Actually, this is the first time the interviewer talking in the podcast. So
it's nice.
I think so. Please let me know if there's something wrong or something you need more. Okay.
Well, Hiro, to be honest, my podcast is anything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can say bad English words, but I look at you right now, you look like a very well-mannered lady.
Okay.
I don't think you will say any bad, I don't think you will swear. I know, we hope so. But so let me just start by saying, you know, it's such an amazing social network app, Clubhouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because recently it's been booming in Japan, this Clubhouse app, and we are meeting many types of people that we would never have met.
Yes, it is.
And it is a pleasure to have you and meet you through Clubhouse, and let's go from
okay,
why you started Clubhouse.
Why? Because one of my friends, she is a colleague at the tea ceremony class. She suggested to me this application is very wonderful. It's very curious, interesting thing. So she invited me to a house. And at the first, I don't know about that. So I tried to visit the many kind of rooms. So there were so exciting topics and then so interesting. Yeah, so almost everything, not everything, but not 100%, but so many kinds of the people there were from all over the world. So I spend plenty of time at the Clubhouse, I think.
Just like the rest of us Clubhouse users. But, you know, when I first met you, I talked with you in a specific Japanese room.
Right?
Yeah.
Kansai Ben,
I think it was a Kansai room. But you came on the stage and you really just kind of you stood out.
Sugoi
medatsu. because of what you're doing. And so for now, can you tell my listeners why did I bring you on? Why did you stand out in that chat room? Can you tell the listeners who are you and what do you do?
Club room. I can introduce myself.
There you go.
Okay. I'm a Japanese in lives in Kyoto, and I'm a dancer of a traditional Japanese dance. Our dance is Kyomai. It means Kyoto dance. It's a kind of Japanese traditional dance. And my dancer's name at the Kyomai is Zui-O Shinozuka. And now all over the world, maybe it's same, the tradition to continuing to continue the, or the, to bring to the next generation. It's seems a little bit difficult than before. So in Clubhouse and also the in here podcast and everywhere, I'd like to introduce our culture and dance, maybe our art also, to tell and maybe to make the chance to touch or show the every kind of things I can. I'd like to do my best to continuing to continue to continue, or how to say in English, I'm not sure, but to bring it to the next generation, this dance.
No, continuing is fine. The legacy continues, you know? But like, you know, I think a lot of, especially foreigners who have never visited Japan, there's a lot of images of, you know, when we think of the Japanese traditional dance, I think about the two types for me. All right. The first type is the geisha and the maiko-san dancing. And the second type is like the festival dancing, like outside when you have like these
Dance or
bon
yasobi?
dance, bon no do. You know, I'm trying to clarify for the listeners. Maybe, you know, you said you are a kyomai, a Japanese traditional dancer, and I'm just making it simple. Like kyomai is a very specific traditional
Traditional.
dance. Kyo meaning coming from Kyoto, and mai is just that specific type of dance, right? And I think maybe the best way to describe kyomai is I want to think about like for people who have watched Japanese movies or Hollywood movies that show like Maiko-san or geisha, you know, dancing for the clients in a tatami room. Is it safe to say like those type of dancing is very similar to kyomai?
Say it's similar.
Okay.
Yeah, we can dance. We dance at the Japanese room or on at the theater.
Yeah.
So at the wearing kimono and like now the how to say the like a makeup as a Europeans. It's natural make and my hair
Right.
the makeup hair makeup and then dance also the other side on the stage or somewhere also in the Japanese room where I have sometimes I do with the white makeup the traditional makeup and then
Yeah.
hair is like a yeah it's a same style of the geiko and the geisha or maiko
Geisha.
it's a Japanese traditional style hair naturally it's wig almost it's yeah at that time we put the white makeup on my
I
face
see.
so that
Yeah.
two styles we have and also the music musicians at the same time the shamisen or koto or kokyu yeah we have
So let's start from the beginning, Hiro, because like I want to know how when you were younger, how what made you become interested in the Japanese traditional dance?
Okay. I was at the kindergarten or very little childhood. I can't remember that, but my grandma and my moms and or the relatives says, told to me when I was a child at my grandma's house. When
Yeah.
I was there, always asked. To the grandma, please put please on the TV at the how to say to put the channel of the samurai drama. Samurai, how to say that? It's a
The
traditional.
samurai TV dramas, right?
Sure. Yes. I
The
remember that, but I like very much that kind of drama or movie. And also, also, so asked my mama to wear, to put me a kimono.
So were you a fan of the famous director Kurosawa, Akira Kurosawa?
Yes, he is very famous in Europe.
Yeah.
So all those like samurai dramas, like the Seven Samurai, and
yes,
all
yes.
That stuff.
Also, yeah, that's also the samurai drama. But I think that's kind of the movie is too wild for me at the when I was a child, I think.
Yeah.
So at
yeah.
that time, I love. Nowadays, it's very rare. But when my it's almost 30. Maybe 40 yeah. years ago, yeah. and the TV show there, the especially in the daytime, almost yeah. every channel has something kind of the samurai drama. It's almost yeah. the typing is the same. How to say the hero or heroine and some yeah. bad guys or the bad someone comes and then that's the end. The end of the story, the hero or heroine won. then,
yeah.
Every week they have this kind of story, but
right.
yeah, it's interesting to me. It was interested to me, so I was very enjoyed. And then other time I said to the mom or grandma, I'd like to wear a kimono or something.
So,
yeah, and after that, maybe I was a teenager. I think my mom's colleague. At the tea ceremony school, she is my teacher now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She's a boss of our group, sixth Iemoto, we say the boss of this.
Okay.
So she sent the tickets, I think, of the performance. Maybe okay. yeah. Maybe someone can come to your daughter or you or someone to ask to my mom. She said
right.
she sent to the ticket. She sent the ticket to my mom, and then mom sent me to the hall, to the show. And that time, I really enjoyed. And then I told I was exciting, and then told to mama it was great, it was nice, something I can't remember no more. But then my mom and my teacher, my boss, talked about something. Then
yeah.
I can start, I could start to learn the classes.
It's like, hey, bring your daughter to our school. And you're like, mom, please, I need to go. Wait, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I have two younger brothers and one sister. So my mom was so busy and no car since that time, I think. So she brought me to the boss, my teacher's house.
It's school.
Train, it takes 1.5 hours from my house.
Wow.
Yeah.
So pretty much your mom was basically like, just take care of my kid. I'm too busy. Yeah. I know that feeling because, you know, I grew up with three brothers and one sister. And my mom was also a working person too, working professional. So she's always been like, get a job or get a hobby. Or go to a lesson somewhere. Get out of here. Get out of the house. I completely understand.
So I have to wait. I had to wait till I can go by myself on the way by train, 1.5 hours from my house. So when I entered to high school, yes, it was the 16. 15 maybe. Yeah, I started to.
Wow.
Take the classes from my teacher. Then after that, but that time I didn't think about to become a professional. It's only the hobby, kind of hobby. Yeah, I love that. I love to dance and I enjoyed it, but it's not serious things to me. So during 10 years or 15 years, I really enjoyed it. Because with the music and then someone, I can dance as a man, as a boy, as a girl, and maybe even though they're like an animal, rabbit or something like that. So it's very.
You dressed up as a rabbit?
Danced.
There's a rabbit costume in the traditional dance.
And
that's amazing.
Yeah, I can show you later, but it's a child, kind of the child story. So it's
the ears? Yeah, the rabbit ears.
Cute. Yeah, I love that. So, yeah, anyway. Yeah, I really enjoyed. But after that, now I live in Kyoto because of my grandma's, my grandma's sister-in-law.
Okay.
Got sick.
Okay.
Almost it's 10 years ago, I think. So then, but she was alone at that time.
Okay.
So she needs someone to take care. So, but it's not a bad thing to me because this house, this place in Kyoto is very convenient. And then, a place to dance also.
Yeah.
So I was very happy to be, to live with her and then enjoyed the life. And 3 or almost 4 years ago, she passed away. Yeah. Okay. Before she had dead, so almost 8 or 9 years, I'm a dancer and a teacher as a professional.
As a professional, wow! But the entire time. You've been studying the Kyoto style, the Kyomai dance.
Yes, we're the same teacher.
Okay. I didn't realize that you came from another place and you moved to Kyoto. I actually thought that you were your whole life was raised in Kyoto.
I was born in Kyoto.
Oh, you're a true Kyoto person.
I am a true Kyoto person or not, but the truth.
I think you are.
I was born in Kyoto, and after that, because of my daddy's job, I moved all over the Japan. And
gotcha.
Then, and now I'm back to Kyoto. Yes, and
that's amazing.
I love to be here, and I love to be as a dancer and a teacher of the Kyomai, I think.
Because I know in the Japanese traditional dance, you know, your school is the Kyomai, but I do know that there's many different styles, right?
Yes.
There are so many different styles. So, and how can you describe what is very, you know, what is Kyomai compared to another dance style?
Okay. We can say the Kyomai is was born in Kyoto and it grew up in Kyoto like a child. So that before before the World War II after the World War II, there were five or six schools there were the Kyomai, the other schools. But now only the Inoue school. The biggest one at the Gion. So, and then our school, Shinozuka School, only two exist now.
Wow.
So, and this, but the, even though the both of Kyomai School, there are many different things. It's not the same.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Like, I want to know, like, how can you tell, like, for the average person, are the dance moves different? I'm thinking about like break dancing or like hip, you know.
The many question marks in the brain, but it's very difficult to describe.
I know. It's like, are you dancing like Michael Jackson or are you dancing like, you know, Fred Astaire from Singing in the Rain? Yeah, you know.
If I can say what the difference of the other dance schools and the Kyomai dance school, it's the most biggest difference is maybe the Western Japanese traditional dance style and Eastern dance Japanese, the traditional Japanese dance style is the different. Yeah. So okay. It's a, what is the difference? I think the Eastern style is more jumping or the hopping or the how to say the movement of the up and down, like a how to say that this direction up and down.
It's like people in heavy metal, people headbanging. No, I'm just joking. It's like in the mosh pit.
Style is more than the up and down. It's a how to say that make a smoothly
side to side.
Yeah, it's okay. A kind of that's how to say the direction of the not this side,
but the horizontal. Yeah.
So horizontal.
So but I think so. That's where it's really connected with the geiko and then the geisha. I think that. The side to side movement is often really recognized.
Yes, yeah, because of in the Japanese room or the Japanese house, Japanese building, the traditional style is not big, and it's not the theater. So it's the same place, the how to say, same the height, same level, the everyone sitting and then dance at the same. Same level. It's okay.
Right. Yep. Same. Yep. Yeah.
A theater is a theater, the dancing stage and the audience seat is a different.
In the bottom, yeah.
Yeah, so then sitting and then from far, not far away, but the take the distance from the stage and then watch. But in the Japanese room, it's very near, not so.
Yeah.
It's difficult to take the distance from the audience.
Right.
And also not the stage and the seats. It's a same level, the sitting on the floor. And the same the height floor we will dance. So the if move up and down, it's too much. And also the it makes, how to say that, dust.
Dust. Yeah, because usually when you're performing, I'm guessing, people are usually eating dinner or after dinner. Am I right? So
also included. Yeah, sometimes.
So, I'm curious, Hiro, when you're dancing. I want to imagine what's your point of view when you're dancing. Is eye contact important? Like, because I notice when I see. The Kyomai dancing, I've noticed that you don't really look to the audience so much. No. Do you?
No.
So, I wonder, is that a reason? Is that a reason why you're not supposed to look at the audience, or is it part of the style?
Yes. One thing, it's because of culture. You know, the Japanese culture, it's not so polite direct to look and talk to the straight looking, keep looking and then talking is not so polite. Right. Maybe a little bit down to the nose or the mouth.
Right.
Especially from the lady to the others, I think. So even though between the women's. So not so like this to looking and talking. It's rare, I think. Yeah. Sometimes it's happened, but in all the style, in old-fashioned style, I think, in the culture, there is not polite, whether there is not comfortable, I think, to each other, maybe.
Huh.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, when you are performing, I'm curious what you're thinking. Like, are you thinking, because I always think about, maybe dancers are worried about the movements. Because I think with your type of dancing, especially Kyomai and your school, I think all your movements are so important. I think you really have to take care. But I'm curious, like when you're dancing, like what are you thinking about and what are you looking at? Because if you're always looking down, I always wonder, like.
So for me, it's not always looking down, but sometimes looking and down, and that so searching someone and see the through the window, the outside, and read the books. There's some many kinds of movement I have, but I don't know about the others' opinion. So it's only me, but I feel during my dance. Especially I think the Shinozuka school's choreograph is a simple is best like that. So simpler.
Right.
So simple, very simple.
Right, right.
Many movement we have. So that, how to say, it makes me to much concentrating to the inside. Like for me, the dance is kind of the meditation. So I can feel, I can see, I can feel, I can watch inside. And at the same time, through inside, I can feel the outside, I think.
I was about to ask you if it's like a meditation to you, because when I see videos of your YouTube channel, and I see videos of you dancing, and I've seen other examples of Kiyomai dancing, and it does seem like that you're in the kind of a meditation state, especially for the dancer, and it really, I feel like it's almost like you're closing the outside world, and you look so focused on your movements, and like that intensity, that focus on your movements is really, to me, that's what's very attractive about your dance, because it's so, you know, because other dances, when I see high energy dances, it's really like a more of a performance, like whether it's like hip hop, like break dancing or jazz dancing. There's a lot of like, you know, it's more about like expressing your body and look at my emotion. But with your dance, with the Kiyomai and the traditional dancing, a lot of it is very internal, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's like you are trying to bring the audience to come inside to how you feel.
Yes, that's possible to say that. That's kind of, yes, I can understand. And also, it's almost same, my feeling. It's I feel inside of me, and then at the same time, through me to reach what you contact with the others outside, so maybe the audience. And then we can make the communication with, how to say, like wave of the air or the sound. It's kind of energy or emotions. It's say that it depends. But I think, even though in the theater, it's an audience seat is almost black, like the
scene. Yeah.
And on the stage, it's very bright, bright with the lights. Yeah, but I can feel there's something moving with between us and also the musicians. And then it makes us the atmosphere of the dance program. So it's
changing
the temperature or the color of the aroma. It depends on which kind of the program. But yes, I feel that. So I think the our dance. Yeah, it's not only our dance, but maybe the stage performance, performing arts can touch the person or without the words, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what dance should be like. That it's you're interpreting your emotions, but it's so, how do I say? It's so subtle, as you said to me before. These are very small movements that are very, as you said, in the horizontal plane, and that's a very, very unique thing to see. And I want to talk about, you mentioned about the music, because, you know, you talk about, I think about the shamisen, the traditional Japanese musical instruments, but you also performed overseas, what's very fascinating, you mean you've traveled to America, Europe, right? Italy, Vienna, Wien, and UK, And what's fascinating is I noticed that you did a video. I saw a video where you were dancing to Baroque music, Bach.
Yes, Bach. Yeah.
And I thought that was like a really cool match. Like, I'd never thought about that, but
it works. Yes, it was a Chateau de Ravel in France. Mm. It was an exciting experience. Yeah, it made my friend's wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. Wedding. Oh, that was a wedding party? Wow, okay.
I was very happy we did that. Because the harpsichord player, also the Japanese, she was a best friend or the colleague, the senpai in Japanese. But she played the harpsichord and I danced, yes. Yeah, it was, at the time, yes, I realized it's not the problem with which kind of the instruments and which, where, and then who as the audience. Because there was only one or two Japanese, but the other one, everyone is from France or from Netherlands or someone else.
That's amazing. How was the reception when you go overseas? Do you feel nervous performing to foreigners overseas, or I'm just curious, like?
Yes. At the first time, I was nervous. I think because it was totally different from Japanese style. Everything.
Yeah.
The floor is walking by the shoes the same on the street and the stage. Right. Yeah, but in Japanese style, especially for the traditional arts, we have to change to the white socks, tabi, and then everyone should off the shoes before the stage, and only maybe the outside of the hall, the backstage, we have to off, change shoes, and then clean up perfectly. So that's also the difference, and also we don't know. I didn't know how the next coming. No one knows how to going, and then sometimes it's subset. English. Suddenly, light stopped. And then. Or maybe we should recover the lights, take 30 minutes or something, or the announcement. But I don't know how to do, and I should be here to wait. So no one explained to me, no explanation to me. So it was made me panic. But the first time it was Italy, I think. My Italian was terribly that time, and now un poco, but totally I didn't understand almost nothing. So, and also the in Japanese theater systems and in foreigners system is also the different, I think. So but after that I realized I can enjoy everything, even though the light suddenly off and then I have the 30 minutes free time. Okay, I can go out and take coffee.
It's a break. And then come back again.
Even though the Cyprus public.
Yeah.
Cyprus Island. Yeah, I was there at for the premiere performance of my friend's maid. Tea ceremony, the tea ceremony, but they never do that tea ceremony, the traditional Japanese, only they still learn from the YouTube. so fantastic, exciting. And then we can talk about that topic, is it okay?
Sure, yeah, it's fine, yeah.
it was one of the most exciting experience to me. It's all 3 or 4 years ago in Cyprus. Mm. There is a performance at the couple. The partner is a performer, and then the friends, my student's mom's colleague at the university.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm trying to students' mom's colleague. Okay, students' mom's colleague. Okay,
In the USA, I think, and he is a German, but he lives in Cyprus with his partner. Yeah. And then suddenly my student's mom asked me to make the Skype meeting or something to advise about the tea ceremony. They would like to make the new program. Then I did. And then they are very exciting. They were very exciting. And then so many questions they asked. And then, but I didn't get which kind of things they want to know, what they would like to do, because it's a totally kind of mess about about the dance and tea ceremony and the kimono and many kind of things the question there were, but it's not it's real Japanese things they asked me or not. I understand. So I asked then. At first, I would like to know, where do you learn about these traditional things? Or maybe you were in Japan. And then, the partner was once in Japan, but it's short time. And then they said, we learned or we watched the YouTube channels. But their passion is the truth. Yeah. And they are fascinating about the Japanese traditional culture. I felt that. And then I tried to explain about the many things, but they have nothing about the tea ceremony things and the real kimono and nothing, almost nothing. So it's difficult to explain on even though they can't touch and show only the TV or the computer's screen. It's too difficult. And that time I was already planning to visit Europe around that time. So we decide to flight to the Cyprus, and then 1 week or 10 days, I'm not sure. But we can prepare for the premiere.
They must have been super excited to have you there. Yes. Like, oh my gosh, it's not YouTube. Yes. It's real life. But yeah, I mean, YouTube, I mean, and social media, these are great channels for people who are very interested in Japanese culture, and I can see what you're doing as well with promoting, and I know that you're also teaching your dance.
Yes.
Are you teaching to both Japanese and foreigners now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had two or three years or more in Lycée Français, the
French. I see.
After school classes for kids, and also the some show workshop or shows in the international school or the in London and in Sheffield, Japan Society or something.
In Sheffield, England.
England, Sheffield. Okay. There is one of the biggest Japan society. There is.
Wow.
I had a workshop for the kids and adults, and also the some workshop and lecture with a professor in the Swords, London University.
Wow. Okay.
So I did many. So many friends and teachers gave me big chances, and I was very happy and to try that, and I did my best, I think, and then now I feel for the Japanese and for the foreigners, it's okay. It's almost no problem about the teaching the dance. But even though in English now, it's the most important purpose in the clubhouse. I am so I spend many time, plenty of times, to talk and to communicate in English. More fluently and to communicate better way, because sometimes it's the culture differences or the not exist in the outside of Japan things. It's very difficult to explain. Even the Japanese, it's difficult to me, but with the English, it's not much difficult. So now I try to find a way.
Well, you know, Hiro, that's why I'm here. That's why I have you on in my podcast. I am here to promote you because you are one of the real stories that deserve to be highlighted. You know, what you're talking about, because I think the image, especially for Western society, the image of the geisha and the maiko-san, that, you know, it's connected with the performance of the dancing and the singing. And not many people don't really know that those points of the dance is coming from your school, like from your craft, the kyomai, traditional Japanese dance. And I think what you're doing to continue to promote your school, Shinozuka, right? Shinozuka School. This is what keeps their culture very valuable, very important for foreigners who are very interested in Japanese culture. This is the way. I really believe this is the way, and I'm very happy to help. Trying to help you, you know,
so I'm so
move on
to hear that. And you know, so, yeah,
it's one of the reasons that I started this podcast, because, you know, I think there's a lot of the foreigners, as you mentioned, they are accessing through social media like YouTube or Instagram or Clubhouse. But like, I think the power of audio chats and audio talks with real people like you, this is the way to get connected with what's really happening in Japan. And yeah.
I needed.
I'm just a servant. I'm just a mouth.
Oh, great. Yes.
Oh, man.
Exactly. Yes, I need someone because I'm a dancer and I try to do my best to dance and to teach. But yes, management with the promotion, also the explanation to the, how to say, yes, I will do my best, but yes, I need someone more, much more, like the better speakers. Also, you also the know about the cultures. You are the, how to say, not the Japan culture, the European culture, or some other cultures.
So, that's right.
Wow, wow, that's
well. I mean, I'm seriously, Hiro. Thank you for the time for taking the time for talking with me. Before I let you go, though, would you like to promote your website or your? Would you like me to? You can say to promote anything for your dance school.
Yeah. Yes, I can. I have a YouTube channel as a Zuyo Shinozuka. Also, my name Hiro Umetani, because since last year, I choreographed something, but since last year, I decided, because my talking with my teacher, we had a COVID situation and then a very difficult time for the everyone, also for us the performer on the stage or somewhere, everything canceled. And then at the time I had a chance to perform with I forget the name, the Gendai Yongaku, contemporary music. So at the Ace Hotel Kyoto, they opened the last June. And since that time, I use for the new style dance, the traditional dance already we had at the school. So that's kind of program already we had from the ancient time or the before, traditional dance programs. I use the name, dancer's name, Zuyo Shinozuka. And then I can make this something other, like with the contemporary music or with the harpsichord music or maybe the drums from South Africa or something like that.
That's awesome.
The choreographed things or the collaboration things, I can use my name, my original name, Hiro Umetani. So then I can make something another style also. And it's easy. Maybe the traditional style also the wonderful. I am proud of that, and I'm pleased. I'd like to continuing to the next generation, that kind of things. But at the same time, maybe the traditional is we have now traditional things, but it's a result of the someone's try to do something new or the bring from the some other things inside and then mixing and the collaborations, and then as a result now we have this tradition. So
yes,
yeah, we have to, or not have to, but I'd like to try something else.
That's awesome, Hiro. So on that note, Hiro, if I write some fast punk rock music or heavy metal music and you dance to it, are you okay?
Yeah, I'd love to.
let's do it. I'll just write a song and just I'll write a nice guitar piece and add some drums on it, and then whether it's metal or punk. Or even some hip hop. I mean, hip hop is probably close.
Kind of music, but I'm curious about everything. Yeah.
Don't worry. I'll make it accessible for you. it'll still be that horizontal slow movements. I don't know, but I'll make it. We can make it work. We can make it work. Thank you so much, Hiro.
And also, I'm trying to make some online courses, the dance courses.
Oh. Yeah. Cool. Can you say something about that for the audience?
I did the precise things because I'm not good at IT things.
So, okay.
but at least I'd like to do something online.
Very cool.
So maybe there's only one class of the lecture, one-time lectures, or some two or three times a course of the workshops or something like that. Yeah, it also the help to, because only the watching, it's a difficult to understand everything. But try to touch experiences. Yeah, also nice, I think. Hi.
That's amazing. And thank you so much, Hiro, for having me talk to you.
Yeah, me too.
And we'll talk furthermore in Clubhouse.
Yes, yes. And then there are many things still I have to want to talk with you.
I know. Well, I'm definitely going to have you on later in the future, for sure, for sure. Because we could go on and on about your dancing and the jujitsu, because there's so much history. But, you know, for now, it's just great to bring your voice up on this
podcast. Yes, yes. And also insight. In my group already, everything it's almost normal or usual things for me. But from the outside, then maybe it's very interesting things. So it's very welcome to let me know which kind of things you would like to know, what was the question. So
hey, I'm gonna make a punk rock song or a metal song, and I'll just send it to you, and then if you can make a dance for that.
Okay.
That would be amazing.
I'm
waiting. Okay. All right, Hiro, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, talk to you later.
Arigato.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Ozaimasu. For more information about Hiro and her lessons and her school, check out her website. It's zuioshinozuka.com. That's zuioshinozuka.com. I will put the link on the show notes in this episode. And feel free to email her or ask her some questions, or check out her YouTube, which is linked to her website. You can see all of the dances that she does and performs with. So yes, I highly recommend it if you're into the traditional Japanese kyomai dancing. You are listening to Made in Japan podcast, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. Feel free to like and subscribe on Apple, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. It really does help if you just, you know, make a comment or leave a review on Apple or Spotify. And
you ever feel the need, you want to contact me, you know, send me an email, japanmademepodcast@gmail.com. Or you can check me out on my Instagram and Facebook, at Made in Japan Podcast. Also, Made in Japan Podcast is mostly a donation-based podcast. If you like what you hear and you really want to support the production and the beverages of my guests for this show, feel free to visit ko-fi.com/Made in Japan Podcast. That's ko-fi.com/Made in Japan Podcast. You know, shoot me whatever donation that you'd like to give, and it does help with the production and drinks for my guest. So yeah, Hiro, I am really grateful that she was coming on, and I am so happy to promote her craft and her skill to, you know, whoever's listening outside Japan. If you're interested, you definitely need to hang out and check out Hiro on Clubhouse or even through her Instagram and her website. So stay tuned. It's the summer here in Japan. We're going to kick back and relax. And yes, I will see you again in 2 weeks for another episode. Until then, peace out and take care.